and it is episode 54 of Eurobash, and we've got a bit of a Goliath week ahead of us in European MMA with both Bellator Dublin and UFC Copenhagen taking place this weekend. A lot going on, and my God, it's become very wintry, hasn't it, Noel? It is just disgusting.
It is, but the rugby's on, Peter. So we have to stay strong and support our boys. Is that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely. That's
we're going to win the World Cup after. We were shy for the last year, and now we're brilliant again.
I know. It's a very weird game. I don't understand how we lose by 50 points to England and then we're still number one team in the world. It's really confusing.
Yeah, it is weird. It's just the ranking systems is mental. It's a bit like mixed martial arts, yeah, really.
The beautiful comparison.
There we are. Yeah, it's all over the shop. But
how many matches would you when World Cup, when I was really into soccer, I'd probably watch every single match. Has it been like that for you?
I was excited on the first day, but it's died an awful death since then.
Has it been bad?
It's just you get a lot of mismatches. Like, they have to sort of try and build the teams in terms of, like, the Georgias there, the Russias. They're, you know, there's a big discrepancy from the top sort of six teams down to them. So you get a lot of sort of probably good games enough to watch. But this, you know, when they're playing the bigger sides, they're going to get a drubbing. Like, there's no chance. You're wasting your money putting money on it. Like,
would peak Noel McGrath get his game on the Russian national team?
I'd get my game. Pete Noel McGrath would start for New Zealand.
That's a good point. That's a stupid question.
Oh my God. Get on with the MMA.
Sorry, man. Yeah, of course. Let's hit up this the news for this week. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-bow. It's the latest news on Eurobash. All right. Volkan Ozdemir is going to fight Alexander Rakic on December 24th. What a fight that is, man. Ozdemir and Rakic, fuck right off. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, it's a good scrap. I'm looking forward to that one.
Like, I mean, Ozdemir's just kind of bounced back into the win column, and then you have this uber prospect at 205. That's a serious fight,
yeah,
man.
But I think that's what they're trying to do. They're looking to fast-track guys now, and I think Ozdemir, after those three losses, and obviously bouncing back last time out, it's a good opponent for me in terms of that, because is Ozdemir going to get back for a title?
Well, Ozdemir was in Rakic's position.
That's what I mean.
You know?
So it's vice versa now. They need people to start hitting the top of that division, or it's getting very, very slim. And, you know, John Jones,
I think it might be, I know it historically has had way more competition in it, but at the moment it's not too bad. Like, I mean, compared to what we were dealing
with. No, but they need to build that guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. And, you know, you have Johnny Walker, have Corey Anderson, Jan Blachowicz now coming off that Luke Rockhold. Now he's taking on Jacare. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting enough, but yeah, I do get your point. There's still a massive gulf in terms of talent.
So, but it's good to see, I think. And obviously, we thought we might see Jones and Stipe. That's not happening. So it's looking like Cormier and Stipe part three.
Gonna
run
it back, yeah. Why not? Shane Burgos v. Makwan Amerkani has been added to the UFC 244 card in New York. That's going to be Makwan's long-awaited US debut. The man is usually only exclusively fought in Europe up until this point, so that's going to be good to see. Big news just after the podcast broke last week.
Standard.
Yeah,
the minute we stop recording, boom.
James Gallagher will now face Roman Salazar in the Bellator main event this Friday. Cal Eleanor revealed a potentially career-threatening scan, which forced him out of the card. I don't think there's any finality in that just yet. From what I hear, Cal is looking into a few things, so hopefully whatever way that goes, it will be of benefit to him. Another bit of news that slipped through the cracks. Bellator actually put this at the end of a press release that was announcing their broadcast. It's like Charlie Ward isn't on the card either.
Yeah. But I noticed that a couple of weeks ago.
Did you? I mean, I was like, someone goes to me the other day, Charlie Ward's out, and I was like, what?
Yeah, they're very, like, they were advertising Redzer. Like, we knew about Redzer 6 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not down with that. I think it's selling Wolf tickets to people. Grand for doing it for a week, but like, literally,
well,
Redzer
we had heard
was in the card
6 weeks ago, but we didn't know for sure.
Of course, so. But you know,
these things happen. Purell Pietro Petrini anyway will not have an opponent anyway. But Joey Herbert's first title defense has been booked for Cage Warriors 109 in Birmingham. Couldn't be a better location. And he's going to fight Kane Carrizosa, who I believe is a former UFC fighter. Also announced today by yours truly was Alexander Ilich, the man who shocked the world with that head kick knockout of Damian Janikowski at KSW 47 will take on Cesare Kesic at KSW 51 in Zagreb. Huge addition to that card. Obviously, Ilich from the Balkan areas there, and he made a huge name for himself off that Janikowski win. So, that's all the headlines I got. I might have missed a few, but what can you do?
Yeah, but well, Brandon Gertz is out of his fight. That's off the
Bellator.
Oh, yeah,
that's completely
well.
Off now. Yeah, the John Tuck had stepped in to replace Paul Redman. But you know what? It's not like...
It's not a
once Redman was gone,
yeah.
Like, I mean, nobody really was going. I can't wait to see Brandon Gertz. No offense to him. It's just...
Yeah, big time.
I feel like the Bellator cards are really geared towards the regional audience. But speaking of that Bellator card, Brian Moore's gone. Charlie Ward's gone. Paul Redman's gone. Cal Elinor's out. And in fairness to Cal Elinor, he had done a lot to drum up fight with James Gallagher. And he had really sold to me, as in, I was compelled to see how James would get on against this guy. I'd seen Cal fight Nathan Grayson. And I mean, has the card suffered greatly, do you feel?
Oh, massively.
I
think, you know, the stock sort of Paul's got Redmond, especially, in my opinion, as we've talked about. And, you know, Paul's sort of taken over that mantle as the old Irish meathead vet of mixed martial arts here. And it was very, very tough to see Paul get pulled off that card. And obviously, best wishes to him with the foot and getting healed up. But yeah, it has. And then you've James's opponent within a week changing. Brian Moore off the card. Brian always brings a big audience and eyes, especially over his last couple of performances.
And Charlie's been on a great run as well. 3-0 at Bellator.
3-0. So. Yeah, it has, man. It's disappointing that that's happened. But, like, you know, as I said the other day, I think I tweeted out, you've people moaning about the card and shit now, but this shit happens in mixed martial arts. There's nothing you can do about it. Guys get injured. It's the fight game. It's the hurt business. We've just been unfortunate in Dublin with a number of cards. Yeah. If you remember the infamous UFC card here.
Dublin's
as well.
A hard place to put on an event.
It is.
That's the truth. There was huge reaction to Roman Salazar being announced as James Gallagher's new opponent. I think this is crazy. You're going to get on the guy when he has accepted a fight a week away from this main event. His opponent was forced off the card, and people are going, "Oh, who's this bum?" If you think it's clever for James to fight like a big name, some big names are calling him out when this dropped off. If you think that's clever to James to fight one of these guys on
stupid.
A week's notice? Like, it's idiotic.
Yeah, it is.
It's idiotic. Like,
it is, and a lot of guys do this, and I pointed this out as well. A lot of guys put their hands up knowing they're not going to get a fight, saying, you know, it's put their public images, if they're, I'm down to fight anyone. They've bloods to do, they've head scans to do, they have to fly in, you know, logistics from the US and stuff like that. These guys know they're not getting a fight, half of them that are putting their hands up. So fair fucks to Salazar for stepping up and taking the fight, and fair play to James more than anyone for taking the fight, as you said. Total different matchup for him now, big, big risk. And he's been preparing for, obviously, for a guy like Cal Elinor. And in a week, come on, give the guy some plaudits.
Look, this guy has twice the experience James has. He has fought in the US three time, UFC three times. He lost three times. I mean, he fought Kid Yamamoto.
Yeah.
I mean, lads.
The late Kid Yamamoto, yeah.
Look, I mean, if you think this is a walk in the park, like, he's getting under a can, like, ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's a good fight.
I think when I see people talking like that, it's like, and look, this is pretty common. You don't like James. Mm. Like, yeah. Okay, that's why you're complaining. It's nothing to do with the standing up
90% of it is. Yeah. You know, you get the whole, oh.
And basically, that's what he's trying to do. So, I mean, he's succeeding there, I guess. So
you're talking, dickheads.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, the people are going to me like, why isn't he fighting Dom Wooding? And I was like, if you were his manager and you recommend he fight Dom Wooding,
you're a moron on a week's notice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, and look, James said he likes that fight. But as well as that, if you want to take Franz Malambo and Dom Wooding off that card,
you're an idiot.
Mental.
That's a great fight.
That's unbelievable.
That's a really good
it's one
fight.
Of the best fights on the card.
Like, I'm obviously not here this week, as you know, Petey, but I'm going to be tuning in over there. I can't wait for Friday. I'm going on the sun, and then I'm going on the app's going to be on, and I'm going to whack it all out. I'm going to get Mallorca invested in MMA. You wait and see, and I'll tell you what, I'll go Instagram live for the crack, so fucking join me on Friday from Mallorca if you want.
I will. I'll try to. While I'm meant to be watching the fights, just watching Niall watching them. Something must have happened.
But listen, fair play to James for stepping up as well. Could have easily pulled out of the card. I probably would have pulled out of the card. A lot of other fighters would have. Well done, James.
Yeah, and look, it's like he has his career, man. He's like on this trajectory, and he takes this fight in a week's
massive
notice
risk.
And people are going to give him shit. Like, it's just,
it's baffling.
MMA fans, man, just crazy sometimes.
Yeah, we'll talk about Mexico later.
Look, there's lots to talk about this week. We've spent a bit of time there on Bellator. We've spent more time on it later. We've also got UFC Copenhagen. And guess who's pop boy for an old chat ahead of his main event? His main event
fight. Another bumper week after last week.
Absolutely.
His last week was explosion, fireworks all over the place, wasn't it?
We have the two Jacks this week. So we'll start off with the first one, the main event. Actually, we have the top and tails of the card. Yeah. Jack Shore's out. I think he's curtain jerker. And then...
It must be the most common name in mixed martial arts these days, is it?
Jack, yeah.
Like, there's so many Jacks, man.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But let's hear from the Joker himself. A huge fight. He's on this amazing streak. He's taken a huge risk in taking on Jared Cannon here, but it could pay off hugely if he managed to get that big win in front of his adoring Scandinavian crowd. It's Jack Hermansson. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Enjoy. And now we are joined by the man who will hold the main event slot this weekend at UFC Copenhagen. Perhaps fighting in one of the biggest fight of his life, it's Jack Hermansson, who's carrying a great win streak into this fight against Jared Cannonier. He is up to his eyeballs all day. He is doing all kinds of press. He has just released a documentary. It's all go for Jack Hermansson. How are you, Jack?
Thank you very much for the fine introduction. I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
Yes, great. But I mean, this is crazy, right? This seems like a really busy schedule for you this week ahead of this fight.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's a lot of things going on, and of course the big fight at the weekend. So busy week, but busy is fun.
Is this the most amount that, like, you know, the UFC or any other organization has made you doing ahead of a big fight like this?
Yeah, probably. I believe it is. So, but that's a good thing. It's going the right way. So if you don't get an intention, then. Then something's not right, so I'm happy with the current situation.
yes, and I mean, that's also a good way to show them, you know, how valuable you are, right? If you're going out and you're doing all this media and there's so much interest around you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think it's a good thing, and I'm very, very, very happy where I'm at now.
Yes, you sound really, really positive and upbeat. I know a lot of people, this kind of stuff, it starts to kind of pile on them and they start to feel a bit of pressure from that. You aren't feeling that way? This is all good energy for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like, you know, there's always a lot of pressure surrounding every fight because in the end of the day, it's all about winning. And I feel like the things around me doesn't affect me that much because the... You know, it's still all the focus is on the fight, so I feel like doing other kind of stuff is more like a break. You're constantly thinking about the fight anyway, so.
yes. And what is it like? What is the mood like in Scandinavia, around the Nordic regions? Do you feel like people are very excited about this one? There's so many guys on this card from around those regions. I feel like a lot of people will be very, very pumped for it.
Yeah, I think so. It's always hard to get the feel out of it before a fight, but it feels like the interest is there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the vibes are in Copenhagen. I'm traveling there tomorrow, so it's going to be awesome to see how the fight week will be.
You were very honest with us the last time you were on, and you spoke about Jared Cannonier, about when that fight was announced. People were saying to you, you know, why are you doing this? You're risking everything here. Have you made peace with that more as the fights came closer? You've just put that to the back of your mind?
Yeah, it doesn't, like, even if I could be happier with another fight, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't take anything out of my preparations or focus. So, I believe that almost all of the fight is equally hard. So it's not about how tough the fight are. It's more about what I have to gain. And the fight is still a tough fight, and that keeps me sharp. So I'm all cool with the fight, and it's going to happen. So... I'm super focused, and then of course I'm looking forward to see what the next step is, but I have to focus on the fight I have now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people who didn't know a lot about you would have thought you was more of a grappler before that last fight, but then you put on this absolute boxing clinic against Jacare. Yeah. This matchup is really intriguing to me. Like, I mean, what way do you see it playing out with Jared?
It could be it's hard to say, you know. Usually, if I get a guy to the ground, it's pretty dominant. And should it happen, then I see it going to my way pretty quickly. On the feet, it's probably going to be pretty competitive, but different kind of styles. So I see myself as the better striker, but I see Cannonier, he has great power, so it's going to be challenging for sure, and he looks hard to take down as well, so and even though he's very physical, he has good stamina, so you know, he's a great fighter, so I think it's going to be a cool fight, and we'll probably see a little bit of all-round action.
Yes, yes. I'm even more excited about after hearing you speaking about it, to be honest. It's interesting to me to see that Jacare has moved up to light heavyweight. Were you surprised to see that?
It's kind of a trend now, isn't it?
So, yes.
I'm not getting surprised anymore. We have like 5 middleweights or something in light heavyweight now. So, and it was a gap there to fill, so I was very surprised. But on the other hand, I'm not sure. It's going to be a tough matchup for him. You know, Jan Blachowicz, it's a really, really tough, big, strong, light heavyweight. And I'm going to be very, very impressed if Jacare managed to win that fight.
Yes, and of course, Jan already has experience with putting out a middleweight who was moving up with Luke Rockhold, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the short affair, so...
Yes, he is definitely on the up at the moment. But we spoke about, you know, everything was so up in the air, Jack, when this fight was announced. You knew that Romero and Costa would play a big part in who would be determining the next guy who fights for the title. You know, because Costa came away with the win that day, do you believe that he will most likely be the next person to fight the winner of Whittaker and Adesanya?
Most likely, most likely. But, I'm gonna do a... I'm going to try to make a dominant performance this time, and hopefully I can get some good hype with me. And I'm open for a what do you call it? Like
spectacular?
Yeah, I'm happy to fight Costa for like a fight
title eliminator.
Who will get? Yeah, so elimination fight.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that would be cool. But on the other hand, I think it's great if for the UFC if they have a couple of guys that can come up and be interesting title fights. So it might not be the smartest move to make us fight each other before the title either, because then we have an interesting matchup to look forward to if he or I would win the title. So we will see, but. Costa is definitely one that I think they will put in the next title fight.
It's interesting, right? Because we've, you know, his stamina seems to go still. He only fought 3 rounds the last time and he seemed to be very tired. And of course, Yoel Romero's a beast. Yeah. I'm not trying to criticize in that respect. But, you know, in a 5-round fight, do you think that would kind of hurt him against a guy like you, Whittaker or Adesanya, who can keep a solid pace on an opponent over 5 rounds?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he spends his energy, because in this kind of fight, you know, he goes 100% out of the bell. Like in the Romero fight, it was a crazy first minute there. So, and if you have a 5-round fight, that might not be the plan that he will execute, but. I think he's going to be able to fight 5 rounds, but then he will have to lower his pace and a little bit more. But it's going to be interesting to see if he can handle that.
Yes, yes.
So, time will tell.
You know, you said to me before that you feel as though the person who wins the Whittaker and Adesanya fight, that is the person that you will fight for the title. And even if Costa does fight the winner of that fight before you, do you still believe it will be either Whittaker or Adesanya who holds the belt when you eventually go to challenge for the title?
Yeah, because I believe that Whittaker is going to win. So, and if that happens, I believe that he will continue to be champ. It's going to be interesting if Adesanya wins to see him against Costa. I think that's going to be a very competitive fight, and I think it's a big chance that
Costa is going to be able to push through Adesanya. So, I see Costa is probably having a bigger chance to win over Adesanya than Whittaker. That's what I see.
Just two more things, Jack, and thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
I was a bit weird. I was a bit surprised by Darren Till suddenly showing up at middleweight and jumping into that Gastelum fight. I know that was a fight that you had your eyes on for a long time against Gastelum. Was that a weird one for you? A guy like who was just coming up to middleweight is now fighting one of the best fighters at middleweight. And a guy like you who has been looking for one of these top-tier opponents for a long time, is that frustrating to see?
It's all right. There was an opportunity for him there, and I understand that he's a big name as well. But on the other hand, I feel like Darren is putting himself in a very tough position because he's been having a hard time, and now he's moving up a weight class and fighting one of the biggest names. So. Should he lose this fight, it's a big chance that he won't be that relative anymore. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm all right with that. You know, I know how this game works, and big names will get bigger opportunities. So I guess that's what we see.
Is it? Do you feel as though, like in your mind, the way you're speaking, you agree with me and a lot of other media guys who are saying this is too much too soon? There was other fights you could have put this guy in instead of Gastelum.
Definitely. At least one guy out of the top 10, right?
Like Uriah Hall, maybe someone like a striker who is going to fight inside Darren's wheelhouse. You know, it just Gastelum seems crazy.
I feel that as well, and Till has this. Also, style-wise, I feel like Till is going with his hand wide and open in the middle, and Gastelum has the best 1-2 in the game, so it's gonna be interesting. But I guess then we'll see pretty quickly if Darren has something to do in this weight class. So
yes, and just a final question, Jack. When I think about this fight, and I know that you might have wanted a different opponent, but we have Cannonier here, but when I think about this fight, I think about you being in Copenhagen in front of these people. I saw how much the people had begun to adore you when we were in Sweden that time, and we saw you at the press conference and you got this huge ovation. And I'm wondering if you think the same way as me, as if you go in here and do what you plan to do, put on a spectacular performance, do you believe you become the front runner in Scandinavia now? And this is with the greatest respect to Alexander Gustafsson, a legend of the sport, but with you right up there at the top of this middleweight division that seems to be so exciting at the moment, do you think that will push you into the spotlight as the main fighter, the front runner of MMA in Scandinavia?
Absolutely. I really believe that. And as you mentioned, Alex, he has stepped off the throne. And we need a new king here, and I'm ready to take that spot for sure.
Amazing, Jack. Thank you so much, my friend. I can't wait to see this fight on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
All the best, Soren. Enjoy the rest of your media today.
Thank you so much. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that was great to hear from Jack Hermansson. Really good to get his take on that whole middleweight title picture. It's an exciting few weeks for this middleweight division, man.
It is, definitely. I agree. And I think, as well, it's going to be very interesting when Darren Till and Gastelum throw it in. We'll be swimming in a few weeks, but like I still fucking bemused by that fight, why Darren wanted that one.
Yeah, like I know he looks big and all, and Nick Pete was telling me, like, you know, he looks huge, like, and he does.
He does, like Darren's
absolutely
a big dude,
looks
yeah.
huge. And the way Nick sees it, like he was saying, to go in against Gastelum, he thinks it's pressure off to a certain extent for Darren because Gastelum's such a big name. But when you're on a 2-fight skid,
I don't understand. I think the UFC, like, you know, Dana could easily have turned in that fight, like. You just wonder, do the UFC believe in Darren Till anymore?
I think they might believe in him too much.
Well, maybe so, yeah. Maybe so. Like, Darren does have that quality, though. Like, when you speak to him, he is that kind of guy.
But that's what I said about lots of comparisons were made between him and McGregor. But the most notable thing was that at the height of their career, they could make people believe in them.
Yeah,
and that's like worth its weight in gold. Totally that's worth agree. Everything. But
let's get on to...
Sorry, I took you out of a different Mexico. Tangent there.
No, it's cool. Let's get on to Mexico City. It was a very eventful... a bit of a letdown, the all-main event, especially when you're staying up till 4 a.m. to fucking watch
it. UFC sponsors were loving it. Modelo flying all over the place.
Absolute scenes. An eye poke, a pretty blatant eye poke. 15 seconds in, stops the bout. Jeremy Stephens is trying. You can see Herb Dean is even trying, making up new rules to try.
Yeah, yeah.
Making up new protocol just to see if this could happen. He can't fight on. Jeremy Stephens, one of the toughest guys in MMA, one of the most battle-ready, battle-hardened guys in the game. If he can't continue, his eyes and bits.
That's what I want to start on, to be honest with you. I was pretty angry about that, man, because there was a lot of people giving him shit, saying he was faking. Absolute bollocks, man.
They must have never watched Jeremy Stephens fight
in their life. That's a guy who will throw down against anyone.
Complete caution to the wind.
45 fucking professional fights, whatever. I think he's second most appearances after Cowboy. You could see the eye, it got flicked. That could have spasmed. There could have been an eyeball issue, anything. It looked pretty... It didn't look the worst in the world, but the fact he flicked down his eye, he could have pushed his eye back, whatever. He could have spasmed. The guy clearly couldn't open his eye for 5 minutes. It was in a bad, bad way. Herb Dean as well. I think, well done to Herb Dean. He's got a lot of shit, man, over the last number of months. He handled that situation very, very well. Tried his best. Didn't happen.
As Helwani pointed out, like, Stevens moved to Mexico for 6 weeks away from his family and shit. Like, you don't do that if you're going, I'm just going to jump in for 15. Yeah, if you poke me in the eye, I'm giving it up. Yeah. Come on, man.
It's unbelievable. And I'm going to say a few words about Yair Rodriguez as well. I don't think he covered himself.
He's very petulant.
I can understand the emotions, the frustrations, but, you know, jumping on top of the cage, sort of inciting the crowd as well. And, you know, you
celebrating
see,
this like a win.
Yeah. And then you see, you know, the commentators, obviously...
Bisping. Treated Bisping with a huge
amount of disrespect. I was very, very irritated seeing that. A legend, one of the all-time greats. Like, and I think he turned around and was translated. He said, you know, don't touch me, you whatever. Something along the lines. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was accurate or whatever I saw, but it was just very petulant. And then, obviously, you saw Brennan Fitzpatrick underneath the table as well in the commentary position when things are being hurled.
Yeah, I mean, the fans were a disgrace. Even Esparza talking about it. Esparza gets this win. They obviously were up for Grasso. Grasso did very well in that fight. There's no doubt about that. It was a close decision.
Yeah, I thought it was Grasso. But
she said as she was walking out to the cage, someone just poured a beer all over.
And Colin Oyama, was her coach, was very, very upset about it. He said he would have got the guy and literally given him a clock. Very disrespectful. And then, you know, we saw Jeremy Stephens get absolutely
people
bloody...
say he was punching him in the back of the head. Is that true?
I don't know. I didn't
see
that.
I saw a tweet that says they were throwing things at him and trying to punch him in the back of the head.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised because you see him coming out and there was, like, literally there was beer coming in left and right. There was glass bottles as well, Bisping said in the commentary. Crazy stuff and just no place for mixed martial. And if that was in Dublin, you know, as Irish mixed martial, we'd be very, very embarrassed. And
I was embarrassed about the Aldo thing at the
of course,
World Tour.
Like, of course.
Trying to do a missile launch.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, we Brennan Lochnan and some, but they actually weren't Irish guys. We were there cage side, but you know, you don't want to see those scenes in your city. And,
yeah, Sean Sheehan. just saying, that was funny though. But, he always tries to get one out of
us. But it was, there's no place for that, guys, in the sport. And, you know, very, very disappointing. Sour taste, sour.
Look, I was sick about it too. I was sick that this brilliant fight was called off after 15 minutes. But I just don't understand that reaction by the crowd. And I don't understand Yair's reaction.
Yeah, I don't. I was.
Why are you celebrating, man?
I was baffled by it. But he's inciting the crowd as well. And he's putting other people in danger. That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. You can understand the emotions to a certain extent. It was weird. But. You know, I didn't like the contempt he had for Michael Bisping either. I thought it was petulant. And, you know, maybe the UFC should have a little word with him in his ear about that sort of behaviour.
Do you know
what
I know about the Bisping thing? Yair's on a mad one. Bisping doesn't even flinch. He's just looking at him. Listen to me. Relax yourself.
He is, isn't he?
He doesn't flinch for a second. He's like,
Did you see him when they're throwing the bottles and stuff? And Brennan Fitzpatrick, when
he gets his phone
out. He gets his phone and he goes, I'm not hiding for anyone. Brennan, legend. You got to love Bisping, man.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. We're not going to go through the whole card, but we already talked about the main, that epic 15 seconds, and the co-main, very close affair, that Carla Esparza comes away with the winning. Askar Askarov, as we said, had a big debut against Brandon Moreno, and it was a brilliant fight, man. Moreno is a savage.
How did you score? Because, like...
I thought Moreno was going to win it.
So did I. Yeah. I had no problem. Even though Askarov had four takedowns or five or whatever it was.
He was amazing. His grappling was insane. Like, I'm not saying he didn't fight well. He fought brilliantly. And as we said the week before, going in against Moreno in your first fight, it's a tough ass, man. And it was just for me, Moreno did more damage. Every exchange, he looked like he was doing more damage. Even if the exchange only, maybe he was standing for only a minute of a 4 minute round and being grappled, out grappled for 4 minutes. When that was going for the minute, he always seemed like he had just about hurt him or caused a big reaction from Askarov. I think he did very well to come away with a draw. I think he'll be very happy with that draw.
I'd say so after looking at the fight. And, you know, sometimes,
but he was really good. Like, I thought he was, his grappling was out of this world, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I go back to the Grasso fight and Spurs, and I think what a lot of people, when they're watching the fight, is they don't look at the time clock.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a big problem in that fight. I did have it for Grasso, and I saw a lot of the MMA media had it for Esparza. But if you're looking at the clock and in terms of what's done, like, Esparza did very, very little in that second round when she took her down. And
it's so weird because the three or four people minutes score that different ways, you know?
Yeah, it's mad. Like, and I just think that's maybe an area people should look at, is the time of the clock sometimes. When you're, if you're rewatching a fight, if you're trying to look at a score, well, judging, like 3 or 4 minutes.
Judging is just way better than it ever was, you know? Like, I mean, when you look back on the old days, if they scored a takedown at any point in the round, they'd be like, oh yeah, he's won that round.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
come on,
that's,
man.
That's it. Like, and I think maybe that was sort of some of the perception of that fight, because I watched it back twice there today, and I definitely gave it to Alexa Grasso.
Right, right. Well, moving back to the European guys. No.
I've got fucking rats here.
Sorry, well, Irene Aldana got a decision win. Stephen Peterson with a disgraceful spinning back fist.
Just unbelievable.
Jesus Christ.
Unbelievable.
Quinones gets a decision win over Carlos Hutchin. Kyle Nelson stops Paulo Reyes. Angela Hill with a lovely... was that stopped because of a cut, wasn't it? That fight, I think so. Sergio Pettis and Tyson Nam. That was another great flyweight fight. Paul Craig, man, that is exactly what the doctor ordered there.
Big time, man.
Back to parity. It's so funny at light heavyweight the way one win can change everything. Because now he's back to 4-4 in the UFC. It doesn't seem like he's in danger. But if he loses the next one, you know, we're going to be like, oh...
We're talking about it again with Paul Craig. It's,
yeah.
And Paul's just really a bit of an enigma. You never know what you're going to sort of get from him. But fair play to him. You know, under a lot of pressure.
Gets taken down, submits the dude.
Yeah.
Really good, I thought. Yeah. Really, really good. Betch Kohea.
Betch.
My God, Sahara Eubanks and Betch. And we got the Betch dance then afterwards in victory. Amazing stuff. Claudio Puelles started off the action with a decision win over Marcus Mariano. But I think, like, look, there was a lot of great stuff there. As I said, I love the Askarov and Moreno fight. But it's unfortunate that whenever we talk about this card, it's going to come back to one thing, isn't it?
I think, you know, in terms of if you're a Mexican fan, the UFC are going to have to seriously consider fighter safety and doing events there again in the future. So I'm not so sure where it puts Mexico City for a few years. Maybe they might just, you know, sit back, because they were the worst scenes I've seen in a long time, man, at a mixed martial arts event.
I know Danny Segura is from Colombia, but he did interview a local journalist for the post-fight show, and that the journalist was very good. Like, he was hands up. He's like, come on, this isn't what we need to do.
Like,
all the people involved in MMA in that country certainly wouldn't be accountable for that kind of behavior.
Totally understand that. You know, it's a minority. Obviously, I'm sure the hardcore MMA fans were very well behaved, but it's just disgusting to see it, mate.
Yeah. Do you think that they will be reluctant to go back?
Yeah. But you have to put your
oh no, I agree with
your fighters. You know, they can't be gone into hostile territory that turns into nearly a fucking riot.
Yeah.
Like, who will anyone really want to fight there after looking at those things? I know a lot of fighters.
Yeah, Rodriguez won't mind.
I know an awful lot of other fighters were tweeting about, I'd never want to fight in Mexico and stuff like that after. So I'm not sure in the situation what the UFC are going to do, but in terms of what I think they should do is definitely pull back in Mexico for a couple of years. But they won't, because they know where the money is.
Right. Well, we'll get on with our second interview of the day, and then we'll have to break down both UFC Copenhagen and Bellator Dublin, or Bellator 227, or whatever you want to call it. Hey, just because you're going away, mate.
Too much on.
But listen, we'll be back in about 15. Great to have Jack, still the reigning Eurobash champion, and still. So great to talk to him. We'll talk to you soon. And he is back, the former Cage Warriors champion and the reigning Eurobash guest appearances champion, Mr. Jack Shore, who is about to make his UFC debut. It's been a long, long time coming. And Jack, how are you feeling, mate? How is it ahead of this fight?
Yeah, the people's call's feeling good, mate. Yeah, I'm all good. I'm training's gone really well. I've been a great camp, so I'm just looking forward to getting out there and getting things underway officially.
Yeah, I saw. I've been watching all your media and reading all the interviews you've been doing since this announcement has been made, and I love the way you're kind of saying, "Look, I'm not putting pressure on myself to go in there and then call out the champion immediately. You know, I'm going to take my time here to get used to this, big stage." Is that very much the thought process going into this fight for you?
Yeah, obviously, I was with Cage Warriors for 3 years. You know, I had 10 fights, I think it was, with Cage Warriors. So I was used to the process, and I was used to how everything worked, used to the people in the division, you know, potentially eyeing up who I've got to fight. Whereas now, you know, I'm sort of a small fish in a big pond, as they say. You know, I've moved on now. There's probably 50 guys in the division, so there's no pressure for me. It's I've gone from fighting the main event to being probably first or second on the card. So, you know, there's not as many media duties. There's not the pressure of selling tickets. It's just like the olden days, you know. Back when I fought amateur, you turn up, you fight, and you get a job done nice and early. So I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, working my way up rather than, you know, jumping in the deep end and calling for this, that, and everything that's not realistic.
Is that a nice feeling in a way? Because I can imagine, like, before I was at one of your fights in Cardiff, it was crazy. You know, everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody's like onto you about tickets, everything. You know what I mean? Is it kind of nice to just be able to go, okay, I don't have to worry about, you know, being the main guy in this card, selling this card, being at the forefront of all the marketing? Is it nice in a way, or is it a kind of a weird shift for you?
No, it is nice. I've enjoyed having a camp where, you know, not that none of that stuff ever bothered me as such, but, you know, this camp, all I've had to do is focus on training and the fight. You know, I haven't had to worry about the promo. I haven't had to worry about selling tickets to people. And, you know, as well as that, you know, I'm going to be fighting early, you know, late afternoon compared to where it's usually on 11:30 at night. So, like I said, it reminds me of when I was, you know, back as an amateur fighting on cards where, you know, you'd have your amateur card and then your pro card to finish, and I was on sort of 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon. It's been nice to switch it back to that and just focus on the task at hand rather than all the other, you know, outlaying factors.
Yes, of course. And I noticed a post there from your dad the other day. Of course, one of the most respected guys really in UK MMA, and he was speaking about the lack of coverage you and John Phillips has had ahead of this. Now, I always know, like, I mean, you get brilliant coverage usually. It's all over the papers, everything. I mean, is this just, what do you think that's about? Is it with the World Cup going on at the moment, or why do you think that is, that's happened?
I think maybe because, I mean, the way I look at it is, there's not a lot in there. Although it's a big stage for me and John, I feel like they just feel, because they're a little bit uneducated, you know, it's not in Cardiff, so
right,
it's not going to bring no sort of business to the town and to the country. So maybe they look at it like that, but it's their loss, you know, because in years to come, you know, if I climb the ranks and you know, get my name out there, they'll want a piece then, and then I'll be telling them, you know, where to go. You know, it's what good is it now? You know, like I said, why would I give people the time of day, you know, who don't want to know now I'm fighting on the undercard, then when I get my name out there, they'll all want to jump on. So,
yeah, it's crazy. It doesn't really make sense to me. Like, I mean, I was like, this is so weird. Like, I mean, this is the biggest fight of this guy's life. I know you were the champion of Cage Warriors, but this is the biggest stage in the world. It seems like such a bad time to decide to not talk to you ahead of this one, you know?
Yeah, it's one of them ones. It works my old man up more than me, I think. I'm laid back and chilled out, but I can see why he's so annoyed, because, you know, the amount of shit they cover, you know, on these sport websites for BBC and ITV Wales. You think they would give a bit of time to me and John, you know, two guys from a small country in the UK who are fighting, obviously, on the world's biggest promotion. You think that would appeal to them? And, you know, there's a couple of good guys that work for them that I know that do their best to get our names out there, but sometimes I think they're fighting a losing battle. You know, they obviously haven't got the pull and the say that the top bosses have.
Right. But as we said, I am fully aware that this is a huge deal, so you're going to have to keep on talking to me, Jack, unfortunately.
No problem.
But, you know, I often think about you guys coming in from Cage Warriors. Like, it's no secret that guys who come from Cage Warriors that go to the UFC, they have a certain level of being battle tested. They have been on the big stage. As we've talked about already, you've supported massive marquees in Cardiff, like with your name written all over them. Like how well prepared are you for this? And of course, we've talked about it before that you've walked out with Marshman, you've been in his corner. Like, do you feel as perfectly poised for this debut as a man can be who hasn't fought in the UFC, basically?
Yeah, like I said, without a shadow of doubt, I couldn't be any more prepared if I tried. Obviously, fighting the big names and on the big stage and having all the lights on me at Cage Warriors, that's obviously prepared me to move on to the big stage now with the UFC. But like you said as well, I've had that experience of being around Fight Week and cornering Marshman. So, you know, I've got half an idea I imagine every show is a little bit different, but I've got a rough idea of what goes on Fight Week, what I'm going to need to do, what it entails. So, physically, mentally, you know, I'm prepared, and I'm just looking forward to enjoying it. It's something I've worked my whole life for, you know, since I was 6 years of age. So now it's less than a week away. It's great for me to just think, right, well, here we go. This is what we've worked for. Let's go out there and enjoy it.
Is there any part of you, like, I mean, do you have any kind of nerves, like good nervous energy ahead of it? Like, I mean, what are your emotions when you think about walking into the octagon? As you said, you've geared your whole life towards this. I mean, there must be some kind of anticipation, whether it's good or bad. I mean, like, is there any kind of jitters? I know some fighters tell me that if they don't feel slightly nervous, they get a bit worried. So I was just wondering how you feel about it.
It's like a nervous excitement rather than a, you know, like a pressure or a nervous a thought of being scared or worried. And I'm the same before every fight. Obviously, this one's a little bit more exciting to me because it's a new experience. Whereas, you know, with Cage Warriors, as great as it was to fight for them, but for the time I got on my last couple of fights, I knew how it sort of worked. Whereas this one, it's just that excitement of walking out to that big crowd and even just, you know, I was laid there last night in bed and I was thinking to myself, It's nuts to me to think I've watched the UFC all my life. You know, I've always watched it. I've been there live a couple of times. And on Saturday, I'm going to be in the cage, actually be in the UFC cage with great. A set of UFC gloves on and going to have a fight for the company. So it's just excitement and something I'm looking forward to. No doubt I'll have, you know, the butterflies on the night before I make the walk, but that's part and parcel of it, I think, wherever you fight. So it's just something I'm really looking forward to more, you know, more than anticipation in a bad way.
Amazing hearing you talk about that, just sitting in your bed going, Jesus, this is going to happen in a few days. That's crazy. But
it's all fun and games when it's 12 weeks away. You don't really think too much, but then when you let Daniel think, well, less than a week we're gonna go for it, then it starts to kick in then. But it was a good bit of excitement, not it wasn't nerve-wracking then.
You know, what do you know about your opponent, Hernandez, here? Like, I believe it was his debut against Marlon Vera. Like, he's a good goer. He certainly likes to exchange and stuff like that. I mean, what kind of fight are you expecting from him, Jack?
Yeah, he's very good. He trains at a good gym. He looked good in his debut, despite picking up the loss, you know, when you consider it was short notice.
Yes, absolutely.
He did look good, and he had spells where he, the fight was going his way. So I'm expecting, obviously, a tough fight. I think I don't think he's going to come out cautious. He's going to come out to fight me. You know, he knows the style I bring, and I think he knows the more cautious he is, the more that I'll play into my hands. But I'm ready for everything. You know, I got a good team around me. I've had some top class sparring for this fight. So whatever he brings, I'll be ready for. And I'm prepared to take him out in the first round or grind him away for three rounds and pick away at him that way. But I'm just prepared to get a win however it comes.
Of course, your father will have coached people in the UFC before, but this one must be extra special for Richard. I mean, it must mean a lot to him. Does he have to pretend that it doesn't when he's around you, just so he can he won't get into your head or anything? But it must mean an awful lot to him.
Yeah, he's pretty good at keeping it under wraps, especially in fight camp. I mean, on the night of the fight, I can see he's nervous and stuff like that. But obviously, that's to be expected. You know, it's not just a coach and a fighter, I don't suppose. Although he's got to switch it off when the fight starts. I am still his son, so I can imagine he does feel it. Probably feels the nerves worse than I do. people who've been in the change room before I fought in the past will tell you the same thing. You know, I look like I'm going for a walk in the park, and then he looks like he's about to go to battle. So he'll be feeling the nerves on the night. But, you know, it's the same as every time. As soon as I step in the cage and the bell rings to start the fight, he's switched on then. He's not dad no more. He's coach then. You know, he's speaking like a coach and he's thinking like a coach. So he'll be more nervous than me, I bet. But he's been around the block. He'll be prepared for it, I'm sure, and he'll cope with it.
Absolutely. Just one final one, Jack. I was just wondering if you saw the bantamweight tournament to decide the successor to your bantamweight throne. Did you watch? And are you impressed with Jack Cartwright? Another Jack, of course, now holding the bantamweight title.
Yeah, I was actually up there doing some presenting for Cage Warriors. They had me come up for the day, but he looked great, Jack Cartwright. He was a real underdog.
Yeah, came out of nowhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 5-0. No one really gave him much of a shot, and to pick up two big knockout wins like that in the same night and then take on the belt. He's got the world at his feet now, and I'm sure, and it's well deserved. I'm sure Cage Warriors will market him well now and plough a lot of promotion into him, and it's deserved after a performance like that. Four top guys in the tournament, so whoever took the belt on that night was going to be a worthy champion, and credit to him. It was a great night for him.
Well, Jack, you're as cool as a cucumber. I swear, it's amazing to me that you're making this huge, huge walk in a week, something you've geared your whole life towards, and you sound so cool, man. You do, as you just said, like a walk in the park. It's amazing. And just wondering, who do you have for this Rugby World Cup? Niall McGrath will be upset with me if I don't ask you. So who do you have winning?
I'm obviously the local boys. I feel like Wales are going to do it. I'm not a massive rugby fan, but I watched the game this morning. I know they only play in Georgia, if I remember right. You know, a lot of good, but they did look good. So fingers crossed they can pull it out and bring it home, and it'll be a good end to the summer for Welsh sport if me and John can pick up wins in the UFC, and then the boys can bring on the World Cup. That'd be great.
Absolutely. No, I'm like you. I don't know anything about rugby, but I'll pledge my allegiance. If Ireland go out, I'll pledge my allegiance to Wales, because you're a great bunch of lads. And look, have a great time over there, Jack, and I can't wait to speak to you again, mate. All the best.
Top, man. Cheers, Pete.
See you soon, Jack. Bye-bye. And great to hear from Tank once again. Big, big moment for him this weekend. Interesting to hear, though, that he's saying, he used to get so much national media there in Wales. And just because he's not the main event, even though it's the biggest fight of his life, he was basically saying they haven't given him much coverage at all. That's crazy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I noticed that.
He was saying they kind of see if it's not in Wales, it's not important.
Yeah, it was interesting. I saw John Godden was tweeting about that, the lack of coverage these
Richard
guys were getting.
You rarely hear Richard giving out about something. Not giving out, but just saying geez, where's the publications gone? You know what I mean? Well, of course, if you're Jack Shore, you want to show them how much interest you bring to a bout, into a fight. And he definitely has that interest. In Wales, the fans are going mad for this. But just the media doesn't really represent.
Well, that's the whole problem in Ireland as well, and we've experienced that firsthand.
It's very annoying, man.
It's very frustrating.
It's probably very annoying for the guys who are covering it in Wales that are trying to get it into the papers, and it's just not happening.
But the mad thing is always the numbers are there when you're doing. That's the really frustrating thing from my point of view, and then you just don't get the backing from the outlets.
Very tough. It's very frustrating, man.
As we've seen, it's just the way it is, and it is. It's sad, and I think. I could be here all day talking about the media in certain countries, but listen, we'll move on.
Right, well, we may as well start with the Bellator Dublin card on Friday, because it's obviously on Friday in Copenhagen on Saturday. That's what makes more sense. But can you please explain to me the broadcast situation here?
It's a fucking mess.
I'm joking.
It's pretty much all over the place. The prelims, as normal, Irish time, 4:45 p.m. Irish IST, so that's what, 11:45 in ET. The US Eastern time. And then you have the Bellator 227 Bellator Dublin portion, which kicks off live on Virgin Media here in Ireland at 10 p.m. local time, and Channel 5 local time. So that's obviously Ryan Scope, Queeley, Venom Page against Kylie, Gallagher against Salazar. And then you have the Bellator 227 portion, which is going to air after the Bellator Dublin portion, and that's going to kick off at 2 a.m. IST on Sky Sports Main Event and Paramount Network at 9 p.m. Eastern time for the guys in the US. So it's...
Can I just ask? So, but if we're in the building live, we'll see the prelims first.
Yeah.
Then Bellator 227, that's going to be broadcast later on in the night. And then Bellator Dublin with James being at the top of the card.
That's the way it's listed, yeah. You'd imagine so, because 227, they needed to get that ready for the American audience. Okay, if there's any edits or anything, so that will go off before. And then James will finish the night.
Right, right. Okay.
And it makes sense for them to do that as well, because, you know, a lot of people, I presume, if I'm not sure how many people would hang around for Benson Henderson and Miles Jury if that was main events. I'm not joking.
It's just, but the regional interest is the main thing with these cards. Like, I mean...
Definitely. But it is. It's a mess again, and a lot of people complaining about it online, and you can't really blame them, because it's all over the shop if you're a viewer and not at that card. Again, it's just making life very difficult for people to sort of go and find these fight cards. And as well, like, Virgin Media isn't, you know, it's not the easiest channel to access if you've Sky or stuff like that. It's just a nightmare. Again, and like, I wonder how serious Bellator are taking this market. I've said it before. I don't know.
Well, they're putting on a lot of events, so I imagine pretty seriously. But it's just the organization of it sometimes. It's just, but let's look at the fights here. We've talked about the main event. We've talked about the main event. Basically, that's it. But what's interesting is, like, they've amplified James, understandably. They've amplified Venom Page coming to Ireland, and Coyley's done a great job of getting his name out there. Scope and Queeley is an unbelievable fight, and I haven't heard a whisper about it. And it's not the only one that's flying under the radar. Even Henderson and Jury, like, you don't hear Irish fans talking about that fight, and you're like, what's the, you know, that's why we were saying we wanted Irish guys via international. And in fairness to Bellator, they did try to do it this time. It didn't come off.
But it's just with Miles Jury and Benson, I think. Sorry for interrupting you. You getting angry with me?
No, I'm clearing my throat.
Fuck's sake. But I think they're two guys that, you know, they're not really the most exciting guys in the mic, promotable guys.
And not even really, like, it's very high level MMA, but it's not spectacular MMA.
Yeah.
Like, Jury's had a few moments, and so has Benson, but they can grind out a decision. It's very high level. The mistakes are at a minimum rather than these crazy
explosive
stuff.
No, and I understand that, but I think maybe they could have put a little bit more work into that, because you haven't really heard. I know they're not the most best guys in the mic either, as I said there, but listen, could have probably done a little bit more, but sure.
Yeah. Also, I think Malambo v. Wooding is an unbelievable fight. I know everybody, like, in MMA is talking about that fight, but they really haven't pushed that, I feel.
Haven't pushed that. Haven't pushed Philip Mulpeter, as we talked about off air a few minutes ago, against McCabe.
Mulpeter was one of the guys in that initial kind of run. You know, with SBG, he was one of the front runners, one of the guys we expected to end up in the UFC. And he was knocking on the door of that just a while ago when he fought Dalby that time, you know what I mean?
But it's just his excitement, the way he fights. You know, he's balls to the wall, relentless, he's serious heart. He's sort of a legend in Irish MMA circles. Like, you know, remember we talked about it with Rich Gorey
there, thereabouts, you know?
All those scraps back in the day at Battlezone and shit like that. And unbelievable scrapper. And another one I'm just looking at here, Lee Chadwick and Carl Moore. I love that scrap, man.
It's incredible, and it's buried on the prelims as well. Like, that's two former Cage Warriors champions.
I think those two fights especially should have potentially, I know they're obviously on a lot of restrictions with time and things like that, but they're two fights that could definitely, you know, feature on 227 or the Dublin portion of this card.
Yeah, it's heavy, like, with the marketability. Like, I mean, Bellator always is. And look, Kiefer and Leah are very marketable. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's unfortunate for Kiefer that his initial fight did fall out, and he's got to shine out his replacement. But you can understand them putting him in a prominent place there, because he does seem to reverberate with the fan base quite a bit. Liam McCourt is making a big name for herself. But, you know, it's just interesting. Yeah. Like, Blaine O'Driscoll and Jake Hadley there on the undercard, two world champions. You know, two guys who have belts under big European promotions. Sorry, Jake is actually EFC champion in South Africa. It's just...
Yeah, it is tough. You know, you can't.
It is very hard.
You can't
have
everyone, but there's definitely two there. The two I've mentioned, I think, could have eased.
Yeah,
like, they're really.
Oh, Moore
really
and
fights.
Chadwick is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's like a bloody slobber knocker. Someone's going down in that one and ain't getting up for a couple of minutes watching. But Mulpeter McCabe as well. Just exciting matchup. We know what Keith brings to the octagon, and you know, we know what Phil brings. I love that scrap.
A lot of talk about Will Fleury's fight. Now, you might look at this guy's record, Norbert Navinia. I don't know how to pronounce his name, obviously. He's 3-0, but he is a hugely touted prospect coming out of London Shield, I believe. And Will used to train there. I wonder if he knows him.
That's right, Will was there for a couple of years, I think, when he was living in the UK. And that would be an interesting one. I haven't heard anything, whether he knew him or not, but
we'll be talking to him during the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Coyley's done a great job, hasn't he? I mean, everybody was saying, like, oh, this is ridiculous and all, but he sold it and he's continued to sell it. But, I mean, is that the most difficult task of the night for the Irish, do you believe, to overcome Michael Venom Page?
Yeah,
I think
no doubt.
Yeah, I don't think there's a single doubt in my mind that that's the hardest one.
No doubt. But listen, you know, anything can happen in mixed martial arts. And, you know, Kylie is a decorated guy in his kickboxing realms, no matter what way you want to look at it as well. But
the sensible money's on Page.
Yeah, obviously. Big step up for Richard. And listen, you'd never know. It's going to be very interesting to see Venom Page as well. Very confident. But the interesting thing, I think, was when we were speaking to him a couple of months ago, you're telling me Michael Venom Page wasn't irritated. He was exceptionally pissed
I don't think he knew it was going to come at him that quickly.
Like, yeah.
Richard has a way of really pissing people off. You
know, he does. He's a great way of pissing people off. And he definitely did that in Dublin. Like, they had to remove him from a room and do the interviews in a separate room, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, I think that was more Bellator not wanting Neil Flynn kicks to pop off.
Yeah, well, like, that's what I mean. It wasn't too far away from that happening. So, you know, when you're underneath someone's skin like that, it can take your mind off the game. Watch that one. But yeah, sensible money's definitely on MVP, 100%.
Yeah, it's a big card. I mean, when you think about, like, the last time they got the sellout, we didn't expect them to.
There's still tickets available, I think, but hopefully people
I heard, like, people have been tapping people up for tickets already, like, and I see people on my Facebook timeline.
Well, hopefully they are. I'd love to see it sold out.
I think it's, do you know, like, last time we didn't know if it was sold out or not because the fighters still had a certain amount of tickets. I think we're at that stage now where if you know a fighter, that's the only way you're getting a ticket.
Yeah.
I think Liam McCourt had 4 cage side tickets she put up today. They were the last tickets she had, and they were bought in 5 minutes.
Wow. That's brilliant. Like, Leah does bring a big crowd down as well.
Mainstream
so.
McCord.
Yeah, I'm sure Molly will be there with her, you know, as well.
I hope she brings her dog. Love Frank.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's a really good card. You know, some really good matchups for Irish MMA on that card as well. You know, it's just a shame we didn't see some of the names that were originally on the card, like Redzer. He'll be there watching on. He'll be in Keith's corner.
And Miles Price should have got a fight there. Like, I mean, I like Kiefer v. Miles. That would have been a brilliant fight for Ireland.
Jesus, yeah, it would have been.
Miles didn't really want it at the time, you know.
Yeah, no, it would have been a cracking fight, but it was a fight that would really sort of get Miles back in that sort of picture, like the Peter Queeley fight as well, and get a lot of hype. Like, everyone going into the arena that night was looking forward to that fight the most in terms of matchup. That would have been great to see that again, but listen, that'll happen down the line, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's have a look at this, the UFC Copenhagen card. Obviously, Hermanson and Cannonier.
Copenhagen.
Yes, Hermanson and Cannonier at the top of the card. Hermanson, I mean, he's talked about it when this fight was announced. It's a huge risk because, he has it all to lose here, really. A guy like Cannonier, he's fresh in the division. He's making a monster of himself out there. And Hermanson just feels, and I kind of agree with him, that he can kind of solidify himself as the front runner of Scandinavian MMA if he wins this, in the absence of Alexander Gustafsson and stuff like that. The form he's been in is incredible, but Cannonier makes for a very interesting fight here, man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it.
It's no walk in the park at all. Like,
not a walk in the park. Like, you know, I think really, obviously, that David Branch knockout put him on the map, and that was the one where he got the Anderson Silva fight. And, you know, listen, people giving him shit over that, and, you know, Anderson Silva shouldn't have been in the cage that night. He did his job, went in there, kicked the fucking legs off him, Anderson's knee buckled. It's intriguing because I think, from his point of view, he needs this win to take Hermanson's place.
Yeah.
And Hermanson needs this win to solidify himself possibly as the next guy for a title shot. I think
Costa's the next, obviously.
Yeah.
But
after that.
But yeah, Hermanson's right there. Marco Madsen making his debut in the co-main event, a fantastic wrestler, has been brilliant in MMA, 8-0, but it's amazing. When we spoke to him a couple of weeks back, he's only been full-time in MMA for a year and a half or something. When he's contracted to the Wrestling Federation in there, they don't allow you to. So he's like, I think it's 6 or 7 months a year, you have to just wrestle, and then if you want to do something else in that 5 months, you can, and that he used to do that with MMA.
UFC, take note.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know what,
man.
I mean? But no, I'm very excited to see that kid as well. You know, unbelievably well decorated. What, Olympic silver medalist, world champion. You know, great addition to the UFC, and it's going to be very interesting to see if he can, you know, kick it on in the big show. And Gunny Nelson as well, and Gilbert Burns should be fun. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, Madsen, of course, taking on Belwardo there, who's coming off a loss. But yeah, as you said, Nelson and Burns, two absolute grappling elites here. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, they are unbelievable. Burns got off to a winning ways, I believe, in his welterweight debut in his last one. That's a very, very good fight. I mean, who's the A side there? Would it be Gunnar, or is it's got to be Gunnar in Europe, right?
Gunnar.
Yeah, you would think like so. Gunnar has a very hard time of getting himself substantial opponents, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But Gilbert Burns is a guy,
I think that's a step up from Alves.
Yeah, listen, no offense to Alves anymore. He's not the force he once was. You know, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he's pulled out of a lot of fights, a lot of injury problems. Gilbert Burns is an animal, man. This guy can go all day. He's an engine on him, like, he'll just go.
When he was a lightweight, like, and he was killing himself.
Exactly, killing himself to make the weight. So I think it's fascinating, but you would expect Gunnar to have the more tricks, the more repertoire on the ground, highly decorated Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I think Burns is a multiple-time world champion.
Is he as well? Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, I didn't realise he was that good. But it is. It's a fascinating contest, and I think it's one probably for the purist, if it's like that. And listen, I would expect Gunnar, especially in Scandinavia as well, fighting.
But it's close enough. Again,
it is close. And then, you know, fair play to Gunnar for taking a short notice opponent as well. Like, didn't have to. And
it
tough,
seems
tough
like an
one.
Even tougher assignment.
It does. Yeah, it does. So props to Gunnar, yeah.
Yeah. Ian Kutalaba, who had his run cut short there by Glover in his last fight, has another horrible fight there with Khalil Rountree. Rountree looks unreal now, man. That time in Thailand, he looked
yeah, unbelievable.
He's kicking the shit out of people, man.
Unbelievable. Obviously lost to Johnny Walker, but the Eric Anders fight was fucking class, man. Absolutely amazing. Looked like a totally different striker on the feet.
Yeah. He absolutely murdered him, didn't he?
Just murdered him, yeah.
Like, that's the only word you can say.
Like, went in and absolutely, it was just the stance and everything so different. And for him to take on so much, for an older guy as well, he's no spring chicken. To implement that in his game obviously speaks well about how much of an intelligent fighter he is. And I'm very excited to see this guy back in there again, because I think he's another guy that could really sort of start pushing up there for a title shot if you can get two or three behind him.
Yeah, another guy that's flying under the radar is Olejanchuk there from Poland. He's taking on Alvin St. Preux. Look at this guy's record. Yeah, I mean, savage. I believe he beat Khalil Rountree in his debut on short notice, but he popped for something, I believe. And so it was like, went to a no contest. But he certainly doesn't look like the kind of guy, his body and stuff. Like, he doesn't look like the kind of guy.
It can often be deceiving, Peter. Look at you. You don't really look like the type there.
Then I'm a massive steroid abuser. But the main card, finishing out the main card, is Nicholas Dalby.
It's
and look,
cracker.
Anyone, Nicholas Dalby and Alex Oliveira, anyone that saw Nicholas's last fight will know how violent that man can be. And anyone who's ever watched a cowboy fight will know how violent
that reminds me of Dalby and Till, this fight, to a certain degree.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is. That's like fight of the night. Like, I can probably
I'm looking at this main card now. It's actually ridiculous. Like, it's for a European card. It that's is what? Pretty ridiculous.
Top three are great fights on Dalby. You know, and I'm sure all
but
of them are.
But I'm interested in round three. I'm interested in Olejanchuk, so it's like...
Yeah, and like Dalby, Oliveira, that could easily be, you know, co-main event. We've seen worse main events than that fight in Europe, if we're honest about it. So, you know, I really like it. I think it's a cracker. Fight of the night written all over.
John Phillips in against Amadovsky on the prelims there. Dicherico against Mahmoud Muradov. CR Bakhrudzada is against the Austrian Wonderboy.
Seen CR in a while.
Yeah, that's a tough fight for the Austrian Wonderboy. Even though he looked very good, it's just his last fight, a few question marks after that. I can't remember who it was he was fighting, but just didn't come off for him on the night like it did in his debut. His debut was sensational. Who was it that Chase Roncontour? Right, yeah, he's a tricky guy in himself. Brandon Davis v. Chikadze. How do you say that? How does he say your second name? Chiasson?
Macy Chiasson.
Chiasson, sorry. Yeah. Against Lena Landsberg. Landsberg had a huge win there in her last one.
That's a good fight.
That's a good level fight, definitely. And then you have Mark Diakese and Lando Van Adam.
Well, that's another one that's far.
How are they putting that down there?
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck that's down there. That should be on the main card.
Yeah.
That should be probably ahead of, you know, Alonchek and OSP, in my opinion. That's a cracking fight.
This is Mark's first outing since the Duffy win, is it?
Since the Duffy win, yeah. So that's a big, big fight for Mark. You know, bounce back against Joe.
I think we might see old school Mark Diakese just wrestle this guy to the ground and hold him. Like, I mean,
yeah, well, like, do you really want to stand and bang with Lando?
Yeah, not at all. Don't want to stand and bang with any of them, to be honest.
Yeah, true. No, but Lando, we've seen what Lando can do on the feet, and you know, he's coming off. Jesus, two draws in his last four fights, which is
that's mental. Isn't
that
it?
Is pretty mad. But we saw that, you know, when he made his debut, I think it was back in 2016 against Ferguson. You know, came in and threw down. And we saw the fight obviously against David Timor as well, which is another cracker, one for the European memory, if you remember that one, standing bang scrap that was fight of the night. So very interested to see that one, and I think that is another potential fight of the night. Definitely it's a good fight.
And then of course it's going to be Jack Shore opening up the fight card against Nohelan Hernandez.
That's another scrap, isn't it?
That's it. Like, now, Heelan looked really good. He fought Marlon Vera short notice.
That's right, yeah.
Actually clubbed, if I remember correctly, he battered Marlon in the first round, then got submitted in the second.
Yeah.
Marlon Vera's an animal, like, so that's a really interesting one, man. It's, I mean, looking at those two cards, we just broke them down back to back. Copenhagen's a far stronger card, isn't it?
100%.
Like, I mean, I'm very invested in Bellator because I know these guys. I've watched them come up. But, I mean, if you're talking about standard here, like, the matchups, like, are incredible.
The matchups is a major difference for
me. The matchups is the big difference, yeah.
Obviously, we've had guys fall off the Bellator card injured, but...
Scope McQueen is a high-level fight. It is. Bellator. There's a few of them, like, as you said, Chadwick and Moore. It can't really compete in terms of high level.
I totally agree with you. You look at the, like, Jack Hermanson, Cannonier, Marco Madsen.
Gunnar Nelson, for God's sake.
Yeah, Marcia Casey, DiVenata, Jack Shore, Nolan Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaks volumes.
It does indeed. But you're away on some holidays. You need an L holiday. You work very hard, Noel. You need some time.
Not working hard enough at the moment. I think it's good just to, you know, I said fuck it a few weeks ago and get the head away, get some head space and eat up a bit of sun and drink some beer, watch the rugby and watch the fights on Friday and Saturday night and swipe away on Tinder. So it should be a bit of fun.
Is this one of Niall's solo missions, or are you going away with a few of the lads or
something? I might fuck going on my own to Mallorca. Nah, a couple of boys are coming over. They've got a pass from the wife's. Paul O'Connor, two Galway lads, and Declan O'Halloran.
Oh, geez.
So I've been slagging them all week. I said, clean your jeans, boys. Because you know those boggers, they got their dirty jeans on and it looks like there's shite all over them. So
there you go.
I tell them to clean their jeans and no white fronts either. Clean their skid marks off them. I don't even see them. So, but listen, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been a while. Just chill. That's all I want to do is just chill for a week. Look at this fucking dark weather. Look at the state of it, Peter.
It's so dark.
Like this time 2 months ago, man, it was bright.
Bright, yeah, man. I was only thinking about that when I was coming down the road. Usually I'd leave to come down here later.
Yeah.
And I was driving today. It was pitch black already. I was like, this is crazy. And in a week, it's just completely gone.
It's
the temperature's still pretty high, even though it's wet and rainy. But that's going to drop dramatically now. As soon as October kicks in.
Yeah, I got a bit of food poisoning at the weekend as well. That was nice.
No, worse, man. Both ends.
No, it was just the day after it came out the other end, but it just came out the top end. I had a few beers as well after work, and oh man, it was. I could feel it. You never drink.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that's probably it. Like, I never.
Your system being shocked by alcohol because it must be 2 years since you had a gargle.
Ah, 10. Like,
yeah.
10 fucking hours more.
Are we gonna win the fucking World Cup?
Nah, I don't buy into this shit. I think. No, it's just it's an example of the media here.
Are England gonna win it?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think England.
England are a very good chance.
England made us look terrible.
But I think you can't look past New Zealand, really, after the weekend. Phenomenal performance against the Saffers. But listen, Ireland were really good. They were, in fairness, it was their best performance in over a year. They looked a little bit different. They were a bit predictable over the last few months. So it's good to see. But again, the media going a bit OTT and people here going, oh, we're going to win it now. No, we're not. But listen, just... let's get out of the pool first and then start looking at each game as it happens. And listen, that's what Joe's going to do anyway, and I hope we do, but listen, I don't think so.
Is that the hard... Like, I mean, the pool is Scotland, Japan, and who else?
Scotland, Japan... Scotland, Japan, Namibia...
And, is there five in a group?
Yeah, it's five in a group.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Scotland, Japan, Namibia, and Italy, I think. Is that correct? Italy? Hang on. Maybe I'm talking shite here.
Ireland, Japan, Samoa, Russia,
Scotland.
Samoa,
Russia, Scotland. Sorry, yeah, there you go.
Five. Jesus Christ, imagine that.
Put me on the spot.
North sider telling the south sider who's in the group. Fucking hell.
Nah, but I got up at 5:40.
That Mexico City card ruined everything. I stayed up till 4 a.m. to watch a lad paw someone in the face and then all hell break loose. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not getting up for the match now. That's great.
I was quite annoyed as well. I had money on the two games and I only lost by a point in two of them. It was absolutely sickening. Like, I would have cleared £500 off the two games.
All the people are going mad on Twitter in the first half of the Ireland match, and I was downstairs making me mass and rashes.
In fairness, though, you did watch the New Zealand. You texted me saying about New Zealand, South Africa.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
That's a highlight. They're the two best teams in the world at the moment. So.
Well, me dad was watching, and I just kind of nipped in because I'm back now. I'm back in the parents' gaff now. So it's good crack, in fairness. I had a bit of a nightmare first week because there's no Wi-Fi and stuff, but we just have to do it to get the old shekels together for our mortgage because Ireland's a shithole.
It is a shithole. It's a horrible country, horrible media. It's just
and the weather's poxy.
You can't do anything. There's like this Illuminati society in Ireland, isn't it? It's fucking mad. It's
or is it, like, it's just so frustrating when you talk to someone from a different country, like in the States or whatever, and you're telling them,
okay, let's pay you fuck all and then charge you 1500 quid a month for rent.
Like me and Lena earned on bad money. Like, it's just this country is shit. Like, it's they don't support anything. They don't crazy. It's just, you know, unless you're Leo Varadkar's mate.
Like, imagine if this was Mexico City. Like, those guys would be out in the streets to be throwing bottles and stuff at them. Because we for some reason, whatever it is here, we just take shit, our people. We need to stand up. Let's all train martial arts.
I tried that, man. Doesn't fuck all. But,
train UFC.
Yeah, I need to do that. I think that's everything.
You're off to
Melbourne now after Bellator Dublin, yeah? So I'm terrible. Like, I'm not looking forward to the flight at all, man. Like,
it's a shit one. I've done a couple of times.
8 hours to Abu Dhabi, 14 to Melbourne.
It is punishing, but you'll have a bit of crack over there with the rugby on and stuff. I know they're not the biggest union fans down in Melbourne. It's more AFL and stuff, but it'd be great.
My friends are telling me mostly in Melbourne, it's very multicultural. Like, it's most kind of, you know, different nationalities all over that kind of place.
Yeah, I mean, my cousin used to run the pub there, in the Gabba, what's the name of the field there? It's the famous fields. They have an Irish club there, and he used to run that, and he used to have a bit of family over there. But they love the Aussie Rails there and the rugby league.
Yeah, that's what my mate Tom was telling me that actually. He was like, it's a big rugby league place. Like, massive. It's not, like,
massive.
I was expecting the bars to be jammers.
They will. No, I'd say you get good crack when you're there, especially if Ireland are on.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really good atmosphere there. You'll enjoy it, but you'll have a few schooners.
What's the
schooner? They call them. They're like little, they're not your pints, like, they're sort of two quarters of a pint. It's a weird sort of size.
So half a pint is two quarters, yeah?
It's not a half, no, it's not, sorry, Jesus, fucking hell. Whatever it is, it's like, it's not half.
Is it like them bar beers they get in America? Like,
No, they're a bit smaller.
Skanas?
They keep them like that because it gets so hot in the summer.
Oh, that's a good show, actually, yeah.
Keep it in a little glass.
Yeah, that's a good show.
It's good, and drink you'll get the stuff I like there.
What were you telling me to get?
It's the Cooper's Pale Ale. Beautiful stuff. You can get it here, the green one.
Yeah.
Make sure they have that on tap there, Petey. Have one for me, send me pictures.
I will.
And the LDB and Victoria Bitters are right as well.
If anyone wants me to sign your baby or anything, just approach me. I have felt tip pens. No hassle.
Says The Rock here. The Rock used to say, oh, kiss babies, hugging people and kissing babies.
That's what it's like, man.
Isn't you're a superstar like Peter Carroll?
Absolutely.
And now a multimedia superstar, I see. So tell the people about this. He's earning a video edit.
Nine hours.
Welcome to my fucking world. Top 8 years. And tail it. It's a pain in the hoop.
Look, I'm fucking deadly at it now.
I'll teach you how to have audio edit so soon.
I can do that with Premiere
as
well.
You can, yeah, you can. You can do it tonight, sure.
No, thanks. That's all we have. I don't know what we're going to do for next week because Noel's away. There might not be a podcast. There may be a podcast.
Yeah, we're yet to decide. If we can work, we'll try and work out something. If we can work it out, we'll get it up.
Because my plan was to record it on, I'll just grab someone at Bellator on Friday and record it. But then I was like, but then Copenhagen's the next day, so.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, so you'd be like, what are we going to do?
Well, like, if we can work out a time on Monday, I'll do it no problem from there if I have decent internet and in the hotel.
Well, I'm flying out on Monday. So.
All right, okay, that's a bit of an issue. Yeah, more than likely, we're not going to have a podcast next week.
It's going to be difficult. Look, if I can somehow pull it out my arse, I will. But that's all we got for you. So potentially won't be talking to you for 2 weeks. And if you do, stay safe. And just don't listen to any other podcasts because they might scare you. That's my recommendation.
I reckon that's a good one as well. I'm going to come back from Mallorca with 3 kids and married.
It's going to be beautiful, man.
It's going to be good, yeah. I'm looking forward to getting out of here. But geez, I hope that Thomas Cook thing doesn't do that to me. But anyway.
Yeah, it's good old Thomas Cook. But that's all we've got for you guys. Huge weekend for European MMA. Enjoy yourselves and love yourselves. Mwah.
Good luck.